All right, so last week we learned a little bit about this Yitzchak before davening, and in that context we sort of talked generally about karbanos. So tonight we're going to continue on, but focusing on the part that's printed in the Siddur after Akedas Yitzchak. So, right, in these terms that you have is on page 16 and 17. So I don't know what to call it, but it's like Kriya Shema, I guess. So it's like this. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, hopefully a little bit, every once in a while. So, all right. So this tefillah that starts from La'olam, La'olam hi Adam Yerushalayim b'seisur b'galui, and it goes all the way till the end of the next page, till the last words, b'shuv yishuv seichem le'nechem amar Hashem. So, I guess maybe it's kedai for just a few minutes. I'll just run through the tefillah. You know, I'm not going to daven it up. You know what I'm saying? But we'll. Basic translation of what the context is, and then we'll do two things. I'll explain a little bit, just on a very simple, a very basic, I guess, historical level, where this is coming from, where the tefillah is composed of, what is it exactly, and then we'll see the pnimius a little bit, and avodas Hashem that comes from it. Again, everything that's being said at the, you know, during this part of davening, which is really sort of before the beginning of davening kicks in. You know, it has to be seen as sort of giving us the most important basic building blocks of what davening is. So, like we spoke about this last week, that Akedas Yitzchak is giving us the context of what davening is. Davening is basically making ourselves a carbon. So now that we move into this next tefillah of La'olam, so this has to be telling us another major principle in what davening is. So what is this tefillah? So it starts off, interestingly enough, it doesn't start off as a regular tefillah. It starts off almost telling us a halacha or something that you have to live with. La'olam ye'edom yeri shemayim, that a person should always be God-fearing, b'seiser u'begaloi. Now, again, one thing I guess I'll say, the source of this nusach that starts with the la'olam and goes all the way to the end of the next page, it basically, again, There's lines and pieces that were a little bit added over the centuries, and there's different minhagim and so on, different nusachs. But generally speaking, this is from Tana d'Velio. Tana d'Velio is a collection of Chazal. It's from Chazal teachings from. It's a question exactly who, but it could be Eliyahu Navi that taught Torah to a certain Amora or a number of Amoraim, and that's why you have Tana d'Velio. So this is basically most of this is from a passage in Tana d'Velio. Now, in Tana d'Velio, the way it starts is, and how this is how Nusach Ari and Enedut Mizrach also has it. La'olam ye'edom yerei shemayim, that a person, it's telling us a command. Eliyahu Navi is telling us a person should always be God fearing, the Seser, in private, in secret. In Nusach Svar, it could be Nusach Ashkenaz also, there's an added word, Ubagoli, also out in the open. But in the original, in Tana d'Velio, it just says a person should be yerei shemayim, in secret. Umayd al emes, and you know, admit to the truth. V'dayver elam sevavavai, and speak words of truth in one's heart. The yashkin v'yomer, should wake up in the morning and say. Now this is very peculiar, right? If it says like this is what you should be God fearing. First of all, what does it mean to be God fearing in secret and not in out in the open, just in secret? Speak words of truth in your heart. What does it mean? And then it ends off, and we should wake up in the morning and you should say the following thing. So that's where it should start. Say the following thing. What are we giving this whole introduction for? Where is this coming from? So we'll see. So what are you supposed to say in the morning? So then the next paragraph has a basic theme. The next theme of the first paragraph is that basically we're mamish nothing. We're mamish nothing. Rebbein kol olamim, v'adonai adonim. We're not going to be davening now because of our greatness. We're not going to be demanding things because we're big tzaddikim. Rather, it's only because of your rachamim. We're nothing. Who are we? We have nothing. Right? My Yeshua Seinu, we have no hope to be saved. It's nothing. And it keeps on going like this. What can we tell you? All the great people. When we say a gibar, right? So Gibor means physically strong. But in Chazal and Tanakh, Gibor doesn't mean Gibor is the Ezo Gibor, HaKadosh is Yitzray, it's Rutamat Tzadikim. HaLekol Givarim, all the great Tzadikim, Ka'ayin Lefnech, or Mamish nothing compared to Hashem. Ba'anshei Hashem, people that have a great name, in other words, again, Tzadikim, Kulay Hayu, it's as if they weren't here. The Chachamim, Kivli Mada, Nevayin, Kuli Haskel, wise people, Chachamim, they have nothing. Kirayv Ma'aseyim Tayu, most of their actions are Mamish empty, Mechayim Hevel Lefnecha, a human being is only how much greater is a human being than an animal? Nothing. Now we add in a few lines. Levada neshama tayra, except for the neshama, she has seen the leading them v'cheshul of nekisik vaydecha. The neshama is going to have to face din v'cheshul after 120. So that already means that the neshama is something. And then we add a line v'chala goyim ka'ayin negdecha. All nations, all goyim are mamish nothing. Compared to Hashem, Shenemar, quotes a pasuk, Hein Goyim Kamar Midli, and so on. And then it switches to the next. So that's so far highlighting just the emptiness of life, of existence. And then the next paragraph is Avol. Avol, Anachnu, Amcha, B'nei B'risecha, but us, we're the Jewish people, B'nei Avram Avivecha, Shenishbat Alev Maria, the descendants of Avram Avinu that you swore to in Har Maria after Akedas Yitzchak. Zera Yitzchak Yechida Shenekel Ka Mizbech, were the descendants of Yitzchak that was sacrificed by the Mizbech. Adas Yaakov, were the assembly of Yaakov Avinu, Bincha Bechrecha, your firstborn. Shema Vasa, Shevhat Aisa, because of you loved him, and Vesim Choscha Shesamachtaba, because of the joy that you rejoiced in him. Krasa Shema Yisrael, you gave him the name Yisrael, Yeshurun, also the name Yeshurun. So we're descendants of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And that's a gewaltig thing. Lefichach, therefore, Anachdu lohaydus lecha, therefore we have to praise you, and so on. Lushabech lofercha. And then we say, Ashreinu, matavichakinu, maynam garleinu, how fortunate are we? Meaning, how fortunate are we that we're Yidden? And then specifically, Ashreinu, shanam ashkim, marivim, that we wake up in the morning, and before we go to sleep, we go to shul, b'vatei kinesis, b'vatei midrashis, u'miyachdim shechu b'chol yon tamid, and we proclaim your unity every single day, v'ayim p'amayim b'yahava, Shema Yisrael. And that goes into Shema Yisrael. Okay? So it's like, first of all, a little bit of a funny... I guess we'll first go through the whole thing, then we'll go back to point out some strange qualities over here. Okay? We say Shema Yisrael. And then the next paragraph is some sort of bracha. Atu Atchalei Nivra Olam, Atu Mish Nivra Olam. Hashem, you're the God of before creation, you're the God after creation. Atu Ba'alam Haza, Atu Ba'alam Haba. And then we have this little tefillah / bracha, Kadesh Hashemcha Megdish Hashemecha, that your name should be sanctified upon those that sanctify your name. The Kadesh Hashemcha Megdish, your name should be sanctified in the world. Ubishuascha Torah Mesavir Kenil Malo, with your salvation, when you bring us a geula, then our horn will be raised as well. Vayishinu Bokar Levan Shemecha Baruch Hamakadesh Meiram, blesses Hashem that sanctifies His name in public. Now to my Kiddush Hashem over here. And the final paragraph is a tefillah davening for Mashiach, for Kibbutz Goliath, for Kol Yisrael to bring go to Eretz Yisrael. Atu Hashem Elokeinu v'shamayim v'arz v'shamayim shamayim l'yoyinu. Hashem, you're Hashem in the heavens and the earth and so on. Atu Harishon, Atu Achroin, V'aldech Einu Lakim. Okay? And now we ask what we want. Kabes Nefuzes Kaivecha Me'arba Kanfes Oretz. That Hashem, you should gather all those that hope for you, the Jewish people, you should gather them from all four corners of the world. Yakir v'idu kobali oylam, and then the whole world will know the truth, that you're Hashem, and so on. And it keeps on going like this, Avinu shebashamayim, chai v'kayim, aseim on tzedaka v'chesed, do chesed to us, bavur Hashem chagad, al givu v'anoira. And what's the great chesed? What are we asking for? V'kayim lono, Hashem elokeinu, asedav v'shev tachtonu, adei tzefani chayzach. You should keep the promise that you made to your Navi Tzefanya, that it says, Be'esihi, at the time of Mashiach, Avi Yeschem, I'll gather you, I'll bring you, Ubeis Kav Yeschem, at that time I'll gather you together, again, gathering Kal Yisrael, Teret Yisrael, Kid Etten Eschem, Shem, will see B'chol Ami Oretz, that you'll become, you know, it'll become clear that you're the Am HaNifchar amongst the whole world, B'shuv Yeshu Seichel Enechem, when I return all of your captives, Omar Hashem. Okay, so, there's a bunch of stuff going on over here. We have to figure this out. Again, we're used to just davening it, but there's a bunch of a bunch of things. So it first starts off highlighting the fact that we're nothing. We're mamish nothing. Ma'anu, ma'chayenu, we're mamish nothing. Anything that we could possibly ask for, it's just pure chesed, we have nothing. Okay. But then there's a huge, then there's a switch. What's the switch? We're mamish nothing, we're mamish nothing. But we're yidden, which is amazing. It's unbelievable. We have so much to be thankful for. It's a gevaldig zach. It suddenly, there was a change that just took place in the first paragraph. It starts off talking about we're nothing, we're nothing, we're nothing. And then it shifts a little bit to start talking about the goyim are nothing. Right? The last couple lines before the next paragraph of Aval Anachnu Amcha, again, until now, it started off again, Ribayin Koilamim, Ma'anu, Ma'chayenu, we are nothing. And then it started, then a shift took place because, for example, it said, two lines before the end, V'chol ha'goyim ka'ayin negdecha. All the nations, all the goyim, are mamish nothing to Hashem. Quotes a pasuk. One second, I thought we're nothing. We stopped that. We stopped saying that. Now we're saying the goyim are nothing. Aval anachnu amcha, but us, the Jewish people, we're mamish everything. What just happened there? Okay, and all of this is leading to what? All of this is leading to us saying Ashreinu, it's mamish gavad gashchus that we have to say Kriyishma twice a day. So say that. What? And why are we saying Kriyishma now? Like, why are we just thanking Hashem for the opportunity to say Kriyishma? We're going to say Kriyishma later. So say Kriyishma later. What is this? And then all of a sudden, there's this like bracha, a bracha that we're making on Kiddush Hashem. Baruch Hamakadosh May Barabim. The truth is, the sheet of Taisvis in Maseches Brachos. It could be there are some nusachs that do this also. Maybe Ashkenaz does it, but according to Taisvis, it's with Mamash Hashem. Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamakadosh May Barabim. Mamash a real bracha. So the Nusach Svar doesn't do that, but this is a bracha on the concept of Kiddush Hashem. Why? Where is this coming from? And then all of a sudden, the next paragraph is a tefillah about Kibbutz Golias, the ingathering of the exiles. What's the mahalach over here? Like, what is this? Okay, so first things first. Let me first explain, like, historically where this is coming from. As I mentioned, this is from the Tanit Ve'Yob. Why are we saying it? Also, again, if we're saying it, why do we start with this first line, La'olam? That's a line from Tanit Ve'Yob that Eliyahu Navi was teaching a Torah, that a person should always be God-fearing in private and speak words of truth privately, and when you wake up in the morning, you should say this. So again, like I said, like I asked before, so that's where we should start from. We should start Ribayin Koilamim. Do we say Psukah de Zirma? Do we first quote a Gemara that says that, you know, the Gemara says that in the morning before Birchas Kriyishma, you should say Psukah de Zirma. Therefore, Hoidu Hashem, you know, we don't, that's not what we do. We just start Psukah de Zirma. Why over here do we get this whole intro? So the truth is like this. The reason why this is established is as follows. It's brought down the Rishayim that the story goes as follows. At the end of the Tekuf of Amaroyim, it's a question exactly when, but it was maybe like a generation or two after Rav Ashi. So we're talking about the tail end of Amaroyim. The Persian, whatever the whatever the government was in Persia at the time, was extremely anti-Semitic. And what they did was they made a gezeirah against two things. They wanted to uproot Chas v'Shalom Amuna in Yichud Hashem and believing in the one God, and also to believe that the world was created by the one God. In other words, they wanted to promote the idea that there's many gods, number one, and number two, the world always existed. So because of this, they were tried to abolish two things, Chas v'Shalom. They tried to abolish the mitzvah of Kriyishma, and they tried to abolish Shabbos. Kriyishma means Hashem Echad, and Shabbos means Hashem created the world, which the world didn't exist always. So those are the two things that they tried to abolish. What they did was, it's brought down the Rishonim. The tradition was that they literally put soldiers by shuls, because they knew that's when we say Kriyishma in the morning. And during the Zman Kriyishma, that's when they would have guards there making sure that no one said Kriyishma. That's what they did. And they also tried to abolish Shabbos, but Shabbos is not the discussion right now, but as far as Kriyishma is concerned. So in order to circumvent that, so the Chacham at the time came up with two Eitzes. One Eitzah was this. They were, the soldiers, I guess, knew the basic format of tefillah, and they knew when to expect Krishma. They were not expecting Krishma before Pesuk de Zimra. So what they did was, that's what Chazal did, is that they established, say this, we're just learning Tanat Velayo. You know, this is not davening. We're learning, it's a shir before davening. So we're just going to learn a piece from Tanat Velayo that starts with Lo'ilam Yeyodam and so on, and we're going to read Tanat Velayo. And in the context of the learning, it says Krishma. Now that's officially what we're doing, right? Unofficially, what we're doing is we're saying Krishma. That's what we're doing. There's another thing that Chazal also did at the time. We've mentioned this other occasions as well, which is that they, because of this also, they added Krishma by Kedushas Keser on Shabbos, right? By Musaf, you say Shema, you sing Shema Yisrael there. Why? So that's also in addition, because of this Tekufa, the soldiers, by Musaf is already after Zman Krishma, so the soldiers left already. So then we had the opportunity to say Krishma, so they stuck it in by Kedushas Keser. That's the name over there. Because of that, part of the sort of the feel of this tefillah is highlighting a number of points. We're not going to answer all the questions yet until we get to the Chassidus part. But this is why it starts off with saying that Torah of La'olam Yehadam Yerushalayim B'Seis. We ask the question: why are you saying that now? You should just start with Ribayin Ka'olam. The answer is the reason why it was said was to give the impression as if we're having a shiur, we're learning. So that's why it started like this. And this is why the line is, a person should always be Yerushalayim B'Seiser, in private. In other words, because this was during a time of Shmad. This is during a time of Shmad, where we weren't allowed, Chas V'Shalom, to be Yerushalayim, to proclaim Yichud Hashem and Shema Yisrael in public, or in an open, revealed way. It had to be B'Seiser. Moed al emes, you have to be moeded to the truth, V'dover emes b'lvavoy, in your heart, because we weren't given the opportunity to speak it out loud in a revealed and open way. And so that's why the tefillah begins like that. And then the next paragraph starts talking about we're nothing and nothing. Again, there's a little bit of a merirus, of a sadness that's being expressed in that paragraph because of the matziv. Because the matziv is, this is a terrible, it's rachmanis that we have to do this. So we're saying ma'anu, ma'cheinu, and so on. And then, but again, the point is all leading to be able to say Krishma, so it has to shift gears. So it shifts gears to talk about Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, saying Krishma. Again, I'm not explaining yet the shift between us being nothing and Goyim being nothing. That we'll see soon. But again, I'm just giving an overview of what is being said over here. And then after you say Krishma, that's the next paragraph of Atuhu Atshalei Nivra Olam, which first of all is also highlighting the fact that we believe in the world being created and not the world being forever. Hashem, you existed before the world was created, right? And you are the one God after the world was created, again, because that was the point of contention. The government was saying not to believe in one God and also to believe that the world always existed. So we're focusing on Kriyishma, we're saying Kriyishma, the Yichud Hashem, and we're also adding the fact that Hashem, this one God existed before the world, because the world is not forever. The world didn't always exist. And then it flows into a bracha on Kiddush Hashem, because that was the matziv. The matziv is, you know, a situation of Kiddush Hashem, of Yahar Val Yavar, these in Yanim, and the Jewish people putting themselves like, this was risky. I mean, this was risky, even though technically this is not being super obvious about it, but it's still very, very risky to be able to do this in shul publicly. And, you know, to sort of convince the government that we're just having a shir right now, it's definitely risky, and it's, you know, but it's because of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. That's where the bracha comes from.
Not just that they didn't understand what they were saying, otherwise it would be a real, their mom was speaking it out, like a shame they were able to say it.
Right. But the fact that so I don't know what the guards knew exactly. They knew Zman Kriyishma, so they knew something, right? And they probably were familiar with the Nusach. So they hear the Nusach. They're like, oh, we're just, you know, whatever. However they were able to explain it. So it's, again, it was a risky thing. That's why we make the bracha of Kiddush Hashem. And then obviously all of this is because of Golus. So then it ends with a tefillah that Golus should be over. We should be able to get to Eretz Yisrael and be done with all of this. That's the basic overview of what this tefillah is. Now the question then is, okay, so this was relevant then. What does that have to do with us? Why are we saying it now? Okay, so the Rishonim already comment on that. By the time of the Rishonim, the Gezer was bottled. I think the Rishonim bring down the whole Gezer was 5 years, which is it's a significant time, but it was about five, maybe even less than that. But something like around 5 years, and that's it. I said then abolish it. Once we said it, we continue saying it. So you have to know. The truth is, we're not going to go into this tonight, but in the Kavanis, this Kriya Shema that's said over here, even just the one line of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, this is a major part in the Kavanis. It's a major part of the Kavanis. So it's interesting. Sometimes you find this, that things that were added into the Nusach sort of even... because of certain circumstances, and they're not like, it doesn't seem to be Iker. That's sometimes how Hashem weaves, how Hashem guides Jewish history, where some of the most important nekudas that, to sort of be under the radar of the other side, that there shouldn't be opposition to it, like sort of sneaks in some strange way. And this is one of them. According to Ari HaKadosh, again, we're not going into this tonight, but according to Arizal, whatever the tikkunim and the inyanim that are activated when you say Kriya Shema Mamish by the mitzvah of Kriya Shema before Shemoneh Esrei, that's not possible unless you said this Kriya Shema first. So this is a major, major nekuda. So the fact that it came in at the time of Shema like that, and I've mentioned this also when it comes to the Shema of Kedushas Keser, what's the greatest moment of Shabbos? If you had to pick the in Kavanis, in the Api Kabbalah, the greatest moment of Shabbos, the Yichud, that the whole week is leading to, is Kriya Shema by Kedushas Keser. And so the whole, it was only put in dafka because of Shas HaShemad and because of this crazy situation. But that's sometimes how things work. If it didn't come in like that, then, sort of the Sitra Achra is waiting for that, the Sitra Achra is on guard trying to stop that moment of the Yichud. Well, the least, the moment that the Sitra Achra thinks is least likely to be the moment of the Yichud is going to be by Kedushas Keser, where it's like you're saying Kriya Shema after the Zman. Like, what? Put your head in, put yourself in their shoes, right? They're living during a Shas Hashmad. They can't say Kriya Shema during the right Zman, and they're slipping in a Kriya Shema by Kedushas Keser. What are they feeling? They're feeling Rachmanis, Ma'anu, Ma'chayenu. That's what they're feeling, right? Dafka then is the moment of the greatest Yichud in the entire Shabbos. It's a Pella. Okay, that's what goes on. Okay, like I said, that's the general theme of what this tefillah is. That's where it's coming from. Again, why do we continue saying it? Okay, kacha, that's just, it was established during those years of Shmad, so it continues like that. That's the pashtus. That's the pashtus. Okay, so now let's learn a little bit, see this, to be able to explain a little bit what this means in Avodas Hashem. And we'll see, like I said before, that this is not just like sort of one of these like throwaway tefillahs, chas v'shalom, that isn't relevant anymore, but just it's printed there because it was printed once upon a time, because it was relevant then. Not only is it relevant, but it's giving us the keys that we need to appreciate what davening is. I guess before we go into this, one other question, by the way, that the Mefarshim deal with, just going back for a second, I forgot to mention, is that in that first paragraph, where I mentioned before, sort of it shifts from us being nothing to the goyim are nothing, but then we're something, that shift. So it was from the shift really began when it said, b'chol ha-goyim ka'ayin egdecha, right? That was the shift. Until that point, it's ma'anu ma'chayenu, we're nothing, and then all of a sudden it's b'chol ha-goyim ka'ayin egdecha. And the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, besides the fact, the shift itself, but also why does it have to quote a pasuk, shenemar? Shenemar hein goyim kamar midli, b'chashachak maznaim nechshavu, heinim kedak yitol. It's a difficult pasuk to translate, pasuk in Yeshaya. The problem is that there's even before that line, there are in the words of the paragraph there are references to psukim, and we didn't say shenemar. So for example, even just one line before when it said umoyser ha'adam min abehema ayin ki akol havel, that's a pasuk. That's what they quote in the Bible. That's a pasuk in Kehelas. So why didn't it say Shenemar? It could say, Kiroiv ma'asem tayu, v'meichayim helo v'necha, Shenemar, u'maiser adam and abeim ayin, ka'kol ava, or v'nemar, something like that. So we didn't. We were using the language of the pasuk and turning it into part of the nusach of the tefillah. We weren't like isolating it as a pasuk. So why don't you do the same thing with the last thing? It should just say, v'chol agayim kayin agdecha, or could just say Hain going kamar midli. Well, you don't have to highlight it as a pasuk. We didn't do that earlier, so why are you doing that now? It's a detailed question, but that's another question. Okay. Alright, so let's see. The Marmokim that you have in front of you, so Marmokim number one is a Gemara Brachas. Okay, so it's a Gemara Brachas Hamad Aleph. It's a relatively well-known Gemara. The Gemara says like this, Omer Rav Levi Bar Chama, Omer Rav Shem Ben Lakish. So Rav Levi Bar Chama said the name of Rish Lakish. La'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer Toiv Al Yetzer Hara. A person should always, it's hard to translate, Yargiz, to get one's excited, yeah, get angry. Like Ruggiz means to be angry. So Yargiz Adam Yetzer Al Yetzer Hara. You should get your Yetzer Toiv angry against your Yetzer Hara. And he quotes a pasuk to prove it. That's another. He's dealing. Obviously, we're dealing with a person who has the Yetzara, right? And is struggling with that. So, Eitz number one, Yargiz Adam Yetzel Yetzara. Get the Yetzara angry. Get angry at the Yetzara. Im Natzchai, if that works to conquer the Yetzara, Mutav Skvalt. V'im Lav, if that doesn't work, Yasek B'Tayra. Then you should learn. B'chu quotes the pasuk. Im Natzchai, if that works, Mutav. Good. If not, V'im Lav, Yikri Krishna. Then you should say Krishna. Good, quotes a pasuk. Im Natzchai, if that works, mutav, then good. Im Lav, if not, Yizkor Lo Yom HaMisa, then you should remember the day of death, and that'll certainly do it. That'll certainly do it. Mefarshim already comment. Why not skip to the end already, just right away? The answer is, again, that's Mefarshim. Mefarshim already say this, is that Yizkor Lo Yom HaMisa could backfire, right? Well, if the Yetzar is very, very strong, and then you think to yourself, I'm only here for a short amount of time, it's like, exactly. You know, you're only here for a short amount of time, that's why you want to, you know, chabrayim, you know what I mean? But therefore, remembering the day of death isn't an etzah right away. First, you have to go through this malach, and even if each step along the way didn't completely knock out the etzahara, it definitely cooled it down a little bit. So by the time, you know, so step by step, by the time you get to remembering the day of death, then it'll work, right? So you can't skip steps. But that's what it is. Get angry at the etzahara, number one, then you learn Torah, Kriyishma, and remember the day of death. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so there's a Torah from the Baal Tanya in Sefer Tanya, Perek Chavtes. It's Chavtes, Lamed, Lamed Aleph. It's a few prakim over there where he's talking about. He references this Gemara. You'll see what I mean. And really, once we learn this piece from the Sefer Tanya and understand that Gemara, we realize that that's mamish what this tefillah is about. Okay, so it's like this. Let's see it together. Again, Sefer Tani's Perchavtes. So the Tanya is dealing with a very unfortunately familiar problem, which is as follows. Asher l'pa'amim, sometimes, v'itim rabim, and maybe more than sometimes, yesh lem timtim halev. Sometimes, so again, the Baal Tanya is talking about a yid that wants to daven. The yid wants to daven. The yid wants to, and the yid knows that davening, what davening is supposed to be. Davening is supposed to be with excitement, with slavos. But the problem is, and he's doing, and you know, he or she is doing all the right things in order to get that fire going. It's not happening. Asher l'pa'amim v'itim rabim, sometimes it happens. Yeshlam timtum halev. There's a phenomenon that's called the heart is stuck. There's a timtum halev. It's like clogged. There's some sort of clog. Shenasa ke'evin, the heart becomes like a stone. And the person can't get the heart opened in any which way. He's doing all the, he can't get his heart open. In order to serve Hashem with the heart, zutfilah. So he could say the words, but he's not feeling that excitement of the hislavas. So what's the Eitzah? So said the time like this. V'zoisi Eitzah hi'utza v'zara kadosh. The Zara Kadosh tells us the Eitzah. Eitzah hi'utza, the Eitzah is as follows. The Amar Rav Masifta began Eden. The Rav in the Masifta in the Beis Medrash in Gan Eden said the following idea. In Gan Eden it said that O'od le'solik be'nahayra, if you have a log, right, that you want to burn, you know, like a fireplace, whatever it is, but it's too thick. It's not catching fire. It's too thick. So what do you do? Mevachinle. So you have to chop it up, break it up into pieces. Mevachinle. So said it's in Gan Eden. They said, just like that's true with a piece of wood. Gufod leisalik beinahira, a body. In other words, like a human being that the fire of his neshama is not catching. Mevachinle. Then it has to be broken up. It has to be clapped. You have to clap it, you have to break it up. So that now, before we even go weiter, I just want to highlight to appreciate the chiddush of what the Baal Tanya is about to say. Until the Tanya, until Chassidus, that was a known line from the Zohar Kaddish. And what did the Zohar mean? The way it was always interpreted by the earlier generations was kipshuta. In other words, you have a log, and you want to catch fire. It's not happening. You chop it up into me and be. You beat it up. So this says the Zohar. You have a body. You have a human being that has his heart is stuffed. Nothing's catching fire. So you give it a clap. What does it mean to give it a clap? It means fasting, rolling around in snow, sigufim, punishing oneself. That was what it meant. But the Tanya is, appreciate the chiddush that the Tanya is about to say. It says the Tanya like this, Pirish, the meaning of the Zohar is as follows. Nahoyer de nishmasa, it means what fire are we talking about? We're talking about the fire of the neshama. Sha'ar ha-neshama v'ha-seichal, again, it's dealing with this problem, that the light and the fire of the neshama and of the intellect, ein emeir kol kach, limshol al-churmiyas shebeguf. This guy his physicality is too thick. He's just too thick. He's too coarse. So the light of the neshama is not chopping him, right? V'af shemeivin u'mezbayin v'seichal, again, just highlighting the issue. He understands intellectually, he's going through all the necessary steps, but godless Hashem, he's thinking about Hashem's greatness, and he's doing everything intellectually in order to catch fire, but it's just not happening. These thoughts are not grabbing his mind, they're not really grabbing him. To the point that it should overtake the thickness of his heart and the physicality. He's too thick, he's too coarse. Vasibahu. So says the Tanya, why? What's the problem? The problem is, Gashis haklipa shemagbia atzma al or kedushas nefesh ulakis umasteras umachshicha oira. What's the problem? The problem is that his yetzahara is full of itself. His yetzahara is full of itself. His yetzahara is walking around. Ani agaver, I'm in charge. And so his neshama is this like little lemela, you know, doesn't want to make any trouble. And the Yetzar is walking around like it's, running the show. That's the problem. So what do you do? So said the Tanya, again, Vasibi, what's the issue? Again, what the Tanya is saying is like this. The Neshama by itself, of course, wants to catch fire. The Neshama is a spark. The Neshama, of course, wants to dive in the way it is, right? What's the problem? The Tanya says, this is an akut. The Tanya says, it's not all the cholent that you ate. It's not that's not the nekuda. The nekuda is that there's this other voice inside of you, which is called the Yetzara, holds of itself too high. It's not allowing space for the neshama to speak because it's making too much noise. Why is it making too much noise? Because it thinks it has what to say. Vasibi, what's the sieve? What's the problem? Gasas haklipa, the gaiva, the coarseness of the klipa of the Yetzirah, shemagbia atzma, it raises itself up, al or kedushas nefesh olakis, over the holiness of the nefesh olakis of the neshama, umasteras machshich oira, and it darkens, and it conceals, and it darkens the light of the neshama. Ulazai, so what's the Yetzirah? So said the Tanya, the Yetzirah is not to fast and roll around in snow. What does that do? Said the Tanya, ulazai, tzarech levatsha, ulashpil offer. What you have to do is, you have to put the Yetzirah in its place. You have to remind it that it's nothing, that it's a nobody. That's what you have to do. So he says, Tahainu, what does that mean? Lekvoya itim, what you have to do is set aside time, lahashpul atzmai, to make yourself low, liyas nivza be'enav, to be disgusted with yourself, nimas, tikosav, v'lev nishbar, v'ruch nishbar, like the Pasuk says many places, that a person should have a broken spirit. But says the Tanya like this, he has sitra achra. Here's the next puzzle piece. It says the Tanya like this. While at this stage in a person's avodah, the issue is not only is the Yetzirah inflated to the point of where it's making a lot of noise and it's not letting anyone else get a word in edgewise, but the person himself has also grown accustomed throughout the years of becoming identified with that Yetzirah to the point of where when the person says I, they really mean their Yetzirah, and when they speak about the neshama, they talk about the neshama. So what a person has to do is as follows, says the Tanya, is that you have to, the goal is to sort of like actually confront the bully, you know what I mean, and actually remind the Yetzer, like really, you know, tell the Yetzer what it is, which is nothing. But the way you address the Yetzer initially is actually by addressing yourself. But you have to know going in is that even though the words that you're saying are "I am nothing," what you're really addressing is the Yetzer, which until now you've identified yourself with. But when you do that, and all of a sudden you poke a hole in that balloon that's called the Yetzer, and then it shrivels down to be a little nothing. Now what happens is, what remains is the neshama that now has space to speak, and then you realize that that's who you were, and that's who you are. So by lowering the Yetzer and by being mavaze it, by just, you know, calling it out, so and therefore, like, poof, it runs away in fear, back into the hole that it came from. Then all of a sudden your identity is freed from that. Like, until this point, the Yetzer has been hijacking your own identity. But once you make the hijacker run away, then now you're actually freed to have a more clear identity, which is one of Kedusha, one of holiness, and one of truth. And so this is, so he's going to explain this. It was nice again. So what a person out there has to do is, you have to give it a clap. You take a newspaper, right? You roll up the newspaper, and you hit the dog that's making it crazy, and then all of a sudden the dog is barking, right? And it's barking because it doesn't think that it's going to be smacked with the newspaper. You shouldn't do this. No, it's not. But you understand. But when I never did it myself, but I'm just saying. That's in cartoons. That's what they do. So then, you hit it, like, you know. But then, when you hit it, the thing goes away. It remembers that it's just a chihuahua and it's just a nothing, and it can't do anything to you, really. You know what I'm saying? And then it runs away. And then all of a sudden, you're freed from that craziness, that insanity, which was identifying yourself with this Macy's Day balloon that was like just nothing. Like, that's what you've identified. Like, that's who I was. But that's only because it looks so big. But when you poke a hole in it, it's not there. And then you could, not only is there no Yetzer anymore, it's not making that noise anymore, and you're actually free to realize who you are. So he says again, again, it means to set up time, to be mashvil yourself, to lower yourself, to be disgusted with yourself, but again, what you're really breaking and what you're really lowering is the sitrach, or the other side. By this person who's called a beini right now, he's not a tzaddik yet. By this point, the identity of the person is associated with the other side. The human consciousness, the human soul that is the person, is wrapped up and identified with the other side because it's never been weakened from the time that they've been a little kid. So it's been, like, as the person is growing in their consciousness, the Yetzer has been growing also. And the nature of the Yetzer is to be more boisterous than the neshama. That's just the nature of Ra, is to make more noise. So, you know, it's like when you have two people, one is just naturally louder, you know, than the other. Unless there's effort made to quiet the guy, that's the voice you're going to hear. That's just the way it is. It's the same thing over here. So he says, "Val nefesh alikisha bai nemar." So the person until this point has identified themselves with their, you know, nefesh of Bahamas, with their animal soul, with the Yetzer. Val nefesh alikisha bai. But when the person thinks about their godly soul, nemar, the person says, "Neshama shnasata bitayri." The neshama that you put in me is tar. No, it's bidaik, like in me. But what's me? Mechlal she'adam atzma yinenu haneshama tar. It means that I myself is not. I'm not that, right? Kiim b'tzadikim. By tzadikim, it's not like that. By tzadikim, shevhem u'lehepach. By tzadikim, it's the opposite. She'neshama ha'tar she nefesh alakis. The neshama, the holy neshama, the pure neshama, the nefesh alakis. Who adam, that's the person himself. So the Baal Tanya then goes on, yeah?
Is the Baal Tanya saying that that's a false identification? Or is he saying... it's only by a tzaddik that it's not the tzaddik.
No, this enmeshment was real.
I mean, the enmeshment is real, but
it's not true, and it's not supposed to be. But that's the that person's truth from that's where they're holding, but that's not where they're supposed to be holding, and that's not the goal. No, I'm saying it is true by that point in the morning before. But yeah. But eventually, as the day goes on, you should look back and say, well, that was crazy to say, oh, kainer shana b'dari, kilu. But that's the idea. But there has to be an avoid of putting it down. Again, this is what the Baal Tanya is being mechadish. When the Zohar says to break the log, right, or to break the guf, it's not talking about some in a chitzonistic way of again, sigufim and fasting and so on. It's an inner, it's breaking the ego of the Eitz Hara. Again, which in the beginning looks like breaking your own ego because the person has been sort of enmeshed with one's Yetzirah. But really what you're doing is that you're freeing yourself from that, from the captor. That's what's happening over here. And he, the rest of the parak in Chavtes is, he gives, you know, it's an interesting thing. He goes on like giving examples of what a person could think about to lower their ego, to make themselves realize that they're not IAI, right? And it's funny, he says, like, you know, you could remind yourself of all the sins that you've ever did, you know? And if you never made a sin, which I go, you know, Seth, you know, not Nageya, but, you know, if you never made a sin, then you could think about how your mitzvahs were incomplete. And he keeps on going, like, older, like you can't get out of it. There's always going to be something that is missing about you, and you have an ability to lower your ego. So he goes on, the next paragraph, the more you think about these thoughts, he goes on, to be disgusted with your own existence, mamish, to be disgusted with how you've been living your whole life. Really what you're doing is that you're disgracing and you're calling out the house of cards that is the other side. Umashpil offer, and you're lowering it to the dirt. Umarida megadlusa, and you're lowering it from its, you know, from its greatness, so to speak. Vegasus rucha, its ego. Vegavusa shemagvias atzma, that it raised itself up falsely al or kedushas nefesh alakis, over the kedusha of the neshama lachshich oira, to darken its light. Vegam yarmala bekol rash, he says, and you should yell at it with a loud voice. He then goes on to say it doesn't have to be out. It could be like an inner loud voice. But to yell at the Yetzirah, v'roiges, with anger, lashpila, to lower it. K'maymer chazal, and this is where we go back to the first marmakim, like chazal say, lo'oilom yargis adam. That's what he's referencing, that gemara, that a person should get anger at the Yetzirah. And that's what the gemara, so he's going back, this is what the gemara is trying to refer to. The situation is a guy has timtum alev, right? The log is too thick. What do you do? Yargis adam, yell at the Yetzirah. And he goes and he says, Loimarlog, what should you tell it? You should tell it like this, Ata, Rav, Erosha, Meshukat, Metuv, Menuvo. B'chol Lashon, you know, any language, you terrible, wicked, V'chulu, V'chulu. Admose, Ata, Taster, Lefonai, Orein, Saif, Baruch Hu. How long, until when are you going to hide from me the light of the infinite God, the infinite light of Hashem, Hamamalik Kalalman, that fills all worlds, Haya Hayvaviya, the one that was, is, and will be, Beshava in equality, Gamba Mokim Zashani Olav, even in the place that I'm standing right now, Kamay Shahar in Saif Lavada, Kaidim Shinivra Olam. Just like light of Hashem filled the place that I'm in right now before creation, Hashem still fills it now. And I should be able to see that, and I'm not seeing it because of you. Right? Va'ata menuvel, and you menuvel, machish emes, you're denying the absolute truth, hanir le'inayim, which is obvious that should be obvious to the naked eye, the kula kameh, kulei mamish bamis, that not everything is mamish nothing compared to Hashem. You have to understand also, this is a major, the example that he just gave of the type of argument to make with the Yetzirah is twofold. First of all, it's being aggressive against the Yetzirah, which is not what it expects, right? It's the bully. It's bravado. It doesn't expect that. Number one. Number two, you're also articulating a language that speaks very well to the neshama, to the nefesh elikis. The nefesh elikis the reality that it experiences and the reality that it wants to connect to is not a reality of like a little aspect of Hashem. What it wants is the absolute raw truth, which is that Ein Oid Mulvadei, the Rabbanu Shalom is everywhere and everything is nothing compared to that. That's it's mamaloshen. Like that's the type of language. The neshama comes from before creation, so that's what it's familiar with. You now you're speaking. You're speaking its native tongue. So at this point, you're not only being aggressive and putting the Yetzer in its place. You're also articulating a language that gives voice to the nefesh of the kiss. This is a major theme in Chabad Chassidus Bechlal, that the Iker Hispoinenus, the Iker contemplation and meditation that the neshama really, that resonates well with the neshama, is the meditation that everything comes from infinity of Yesh Mi'ayin, that everything comes from nothing. Everything comes from Mamish, what was before creation, and how everything after creation compared to that is Mamish nothing. Rishonim call reality Yesh Mi'ayin. And Chassidus says that what resonates with the neshama is to realize that everything is ayin from yesh. The most real was before creation. This is nothing. This is nothing. That type of language speaks very well with the neshama. Now the truth is, again, this is in parentheses. Because of that, we find in other Sefer Chassidus an idea as well. Because of that, very often the neshama therefore needs to be. It's like a little bit of a catch 22, but it's a mahalach. To wake up the neshama, you have to speak its language, and that the language is the whole world is nothing. It's all you want to be by Elikos. You want to be pre-creation. Like that's the language that wakes it up. When it's woken up with that, then it has to sort of be comforted with the fact that it's not up there and it's still down here. So then you have to speak words of L'maisa, the Rabbanu Shalom wants this world to be sanctified, and the Iker Ratzon of Hashem is to show how this world with mitzvahs ma'asiyos is full of Hashem's presence as well. And so that's the sort of, you know, the avodah of Ratzon, of running towards Hashem, but then v'shoyev, then returning back down. That's a dynamic that the neshama needs to deal with. But that's what he's saying over here. Vine, next paragraph. Aydez, yeah. So that's the Imam. She addresses this soon. He's going to address that in a moment. So he said, we're not there yet, but he's going to address that. Vina aydezeh, aydezeh, through this, yoyel l'nafshu l'kis, l'hoyer inev emes, through this, the nefesh l'kis will now truly be able to open its eyes and articulate and to, the experience that it naturally has, which is yichud ein soif, which is the absolute oneness of Hashem. That's its reality. But it hasn't been allowed to talk that and to say that and to articulate that and to live with that, because the nefesh of the Yetzar has been making so much noise about Narishkeit. It hasn't, but that's its reality. You know, the reality of the nefesh of the kiss is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. All there is the one God of before creation, after creation. Like that. All of this is ayin. Like that's its reality. And now you're giving it the space to talk. Vatam. Then how does this work? So he says like this: Lefisha be'emes ein shum amoshes klal b'sitrachra. Because the truth is, the other side is vapor. It's not. There's really nothing there. Shalochinim shalochayshech. That's what's compared to darkness. What is darkness? Nothing. So what do you have to do? You have to get rid of darkness. You know, get rid of darkness. There's light. There's no dark. Right? V'lochin he b'teil l'gam v'bnei akdusha. If the natural order of things is for the other side to be batal and to be nullified and to be lowered before Kedusha. Rak, but what's the problem? The reality is, Shlagabe Kedusha is nefesh l'kisha ba'odam, when it comes to how these two sides of good and evil play out within the person, so Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rishus V'Yicholes Lagbi Atzma Kenegda. The Rabbanu Shalom gave special permission for evil that resides within a person to have this full sense of bravado in order to allow there to be struggle, bechira. But the natural order of things is that there's no idea of darkness in the presence of light. The unbelievable chiddush and pella is that in the human heart, there's darkness despite the fact that there is light. That's a pella. But he says, k'deish adam yisar li gover la lashpila, but this is all in order for the human being to use their bechira and to lower the yitzhar, ayde shiflus and anichas rucha, and so on. So he says to Tanya, therefore, Uba Sarusa de la Sata, therefore, when you do your avoda down here, which is to lower the stature of your Yetzihara, which again, in the beginning, you identified as yourself, but so you lower your ego, is Sarusa de la Eila, then that awakens, that has a chain reaction above. And what happens is, Shemasira Memshalta V'yicholta, that Hashem then removes its false bravado in truth. Right, Masalik Men Hakayach Rishos Shenasan La Lagvias. When Hashem removes that permission, the natural order of things that it should be low. Elamai, why is it not low in my heart? Because Hashem was giving it sort of the permission to make itself big, in order to give me the opportunity to lower it. But once I do my avoid of lowering it, then Hashem says, okay, fine. Then I'm going to return it to the natural order, which is that darkness doesn't exist in the presence of light. So he says, Neged ar kedushas nefesh elokis. V'zay memela b'tela. And then memela, it's batel, v'nidchis. Kibitel ha'cheshu v'nei aragashmi. The Tanya, by the way, gives an example of this. It's a Peledik example. He says, take a look at the story of the Meraglim. Yeah? So what's the story of the Meraglim? So the Meraglim, you don't know, the Meraglim go, come back negative report, Klai Yisrael is nervous, they even say, Chas V'Shom, was the Lashon, Ki Koshu Humi Menu, right? Even God can't conquer Eretz Yisrael. He says, so what happens? So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the message, how could you say that? It's terrible. None of you are allowed into the land. That's it. You're going to be wandering for 40 years. What immediately happens? Then Klal Yisrael come to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mapilim, and they say, okay, we're sorry, we made a mistake, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's go, we'll be able to do it. And Moshe says, no, V'ilay Sitzlach, it's not going to work, whatever. So he asked the Tanya, one second, what just happened? A second ago, you doubted whether God could even conquer the land. So if it would be one thing if Hashem performed a miracle right now to show his strength, and he said, okay, you know what, maybe Taki could do it. But nothing happened. All that happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu yelled at them. That's all that happened. They got yelled at by Moshe. And then all of a sudden, okay, fine, you know, let's go into Eretz Yisrael, like talk about what changed. Says the Tanya, that's exactly what changed. The whole thing was a mishagas. The whole thing was this, the Yetzirah making itself so blown up to the point of where it just overtook their brains. So what stopped it? Moshe Rabbeinu like smacked them, like, what's wrong with you guys? And that jolted them back into sense. Like, oh yeah, taka. And then they went back to their natural order of things, which is, of course, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. At that point, it was already too late because they made the mistake. But you see, that process is like, the whole thing was just an inflated noise that was making from this insanity called the Yetzirah. And it didn't require a nace to disprove it. It just needed a smack. And so it came in the form of Hashem yelling at them through Moshe Rabbeinu. But that just got them back, you know. Again, it silenced the Yetzirah, which then freed the Jewish people to know what they always truly knew. But they weren't able to know it while their identity was caught up with this blown up balloon, you know. That's this. He's Marach in Chavtes, and Lamed. In Perek Lamed Aleph, the Tanya ends off like this. That's late. So he says like this, V'achakach, after all these thoughts, so first of all, just to address what Yehuda said, the Tani himself deals with that. It's like, okay, what about the sadness and the depression that might come? So the Tani says two things. First of all, he says, no. Sadness is also, it's a bit the evid, because halavai, the person didn't have the Yetzar, didn't, you know, allow the Yetzar to become so inflated. But it's an echanami, like, okay, you know, sometimes meriris is, sadness is necessary. It's a necessary evil, but sometimes it's there. But then the Tani explains, but the truth is, it's not even really sadness. Because the definition of it's a shmuz by itself. But the Tani says that the definition of atzvas, which is not good, versus meriris, which is a holy thing, a ruach lovei nishbar, is whether it results in action or not. When a person is sad and it doesn't produce any activity, that's called being depressed. That's unholy. But when a person is sad and it motivates the person to do, that's holy. That's called meriris. That's called a broken heart. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying a person should have that all day long. But in the right time, that's a productive thing. And the Tanya says more than that, but the truth is that these thoughts will actually produce simcha. How does it produce simcha? So that's Maramakam number 4. It's Perak Lamed Aleph. Ve'acharkach Yovilu de simcha mitis. From this a person comes to true joy. Dahainu. How? Shezoiz yashav alibel enachma kiflaim. Because this is what you then have to realize. One, again, it's the same process. Once the Yetzirah has been deflated, then what happens? Then you are freed from that craziness. And then what happens is, then you actually come to yourself, just like the Jewish people after the Meraglim, and now you can actually be yourself. And there's no greater joy than that. And he says, you remind yourself of the following thought to comfort yourself, lemer liboy, to tell yourself like this, emes ukein beli safek. Whatever, all the thoughts that I had until now of deflating my ego were true. Shani rochak ma'id ma'ashem, masking. Ach kol zehu ani levadi ha'guf. But that was all who I was in terms of my enmeshment with the Yetzirah. Av mikol mokin yesh bekir b'chelek Hashem mamish. But I do have a portion of the living God within myself. Sheyesh nafil b'kal shavakalim. That's even in the lowest of Jews. And what is it? Rakshu b'chinas golas. The shift is that until now I was the bad guy. But now I realized I wasn't the bad guy. I was the victim in all of this. I've been in Golis until this point. So what happens, the shift between when you're the bad guy, then you just want to curl up in bed and just like give up on yourself because, oh my gosh, I've been the bad guy. But when you are the victim, right, and you're imprisoned in Golis, so then you're not depressed from that. If you're imprisoned in Golis, but you also have the keys to get out of Golis. So then get out of Golis. So it changes the whole perspective. He says as follows: Rashi b'chin is Golis. You've been in exile. V'imkin adraba kol mashonu b'tachlis arichuk. It means the greatest distance from Hashem that I've been describing and feeling until this point. Hari nefesh elokish should be begalus gadol. Yosef. That means that my neshama is in a greater galus. V'arachmonis aleh gadol amayit, and the rachmonis on my neshama is even greater. Ulazais asim kol magmasi v'cheftzi, and this will now become my main focus in life and my main desire. Lahitzia ulaloisim migalazeh, to get myself out of this galus, ulashivo beisavi kunurah, and return her, to return my neshama, return myself to her father's home. Vein lacha simcha gedoyla ketzeis min ha-galus v'ashviyah, and there's no greater joy than coming out of galus. K'moshul ben melech shay b'shvi, like a prince that was in captive, that was a captive and is then able to be released. There's no greater simcha than that. V'gam simcha se nefesh tiyah b'tisefes arve simcha. And by the way, and more than that, you could even intensify the simcha with the following realization. Kasha yosim aliba. When you realize, and again, it's a little bit cut out of here, but you can look it up yourself inside. He says, because you can make the following cheshbon. One second. So I've now come to the realization that what? That this whole thing was me being hijacked by my Yetzirah. And so the person then can make the next cheshbon, which is, most of the mistakes I have to take responsibility for. But one second. But the initial hijacking was not me. That wasn't me. I was put on this planet, born in captivity. I was born under this false identity of seeing myself as just a human being with human tendencies and inclined to negative behaviors. Yes, once I started going to school and being educated, I should have known better, and I made mistakes along the way. Masking, but it started with something that wasn't my fault. So then the question is, why would Hashem do that? Why would Hashem do that? Why would Hashem take a piece of Himself that has its own consciousness, a divine consciousness, and set it up to be imprisoned in the very beginning? Yes, again, I'll take responsibility for making the prison sentence worse. But Lamaisa, the prison sentence was put on me. Was put on Hashem did it to Himself. So why would He do this? So they says, so V'lam as Hashem kizayis. Why would Hashem do that? Lahayrid chelak me'ari yisparach, to take a piece of His own light and to put into this place. Delbisha mishcha dechavia, and to enclose it in the skin of the snake. Why would He do that? Ein zeh, so it must be kiim yirid azu hi letzarech aliyah. It must be that if I'm able to somehow escape from that entanglement, and somehow find my way back to Hashem, it must be that what I will eventually, the place that I will eventually get to, is greater than where it all started. It must be. It must be that going through this life and all the struggles of this life must bring me to a place that's even deeper than the Gan Eden that I started with. This Yerida must be with Tzarach Aliyah. So instead of now it being a sad thing and a sad story, what greater simcha is that? I'm going to double down my efforts because this must be for the Tzarach Aliyah, because there's no other explanation for this. If it was all my fault, okay, then there's no one else to blame. But it wasn't all my fault. I have a lot of responsibility after the beginning, but this didn't start off as my fault. So why would Hashem do it? It must be that there's something that he gains from this. So that's what I saw, and I'm gonna make that happen. So he says, "V'zayis tia kol magamasi." This is now gonna be my focus. L'kasher machshavti v'diburi. I'm gonna connect my thoughts and my words to machshavti v'diburi yisparach. L'chein v'mais of ma'is hamitzvahs. Because because it must be that living a life of avodas Hashem in this world and trying to detangle yourself from this false identity of the Yetzirah will eventually lead a person to a madrega of elikus that's deeper than where it all started. It must be that the God that we're going to eventually meet through avodas Hashem is deeper than the God of even before creation. Yeah, and when you do that, it's even deeper than the nothing that it all started from. Exactly.
Well, time is saying, I'll show a deeper mysis that ultimately what it rolls into.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what it's coming to. Which is mysis, which is only possible.
Only possible here. You need to be, you need to grow in order to truly engage in mitzvahs mysis. You have to be born associated with Guf. Like, you have to be a part of that universe. You can't be an alien here. You have to be born in it. And you have to go through all the struggles, but that's why Hashem did it. Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back very quickly. It's already late. Let's go back to this tefillah. This is what this tefillah is about. Again, as I said, historically it's about a Shas HaShema. You can't say Krishma and so on, and the world is in Pnimius, that's what this tefillah is. Again, it's addressing this issue. It's addressing the issue of a yid that is unable to daven. And again, you're opening the sitters like, oh my gosh, you know, you can't daven. Your heart is stuffed. So what do you do? So you go through this avoida. So you go again. Again, like I said, that this is you have to remind yourself. To remind yourself from the very beginning that this avoid that I'm about to undertake is for the purposes of revealing the deepest identity that is in truth latent within me. Now, because what I'm about to do is Perichav Tes and Tanya, which is I'm going to be yelling at myself a lot and I'm going to be putting myself down. But I have to know from the very beginning what my objective is. What my objective is that I'm doing all of this in order to poke a hole in my false identity to allow my true essence and my true identity to actually have a voice. So I have to remind myself in the very beginning, by the way, I have a true identity. I can't see it. It's completely hidden and it's deep down in my heart and I don't even associate with it yet, but I know it's there. So that's what you say. That you have to know that that there's Yerushalayim, even if you don't have Yerushalayim on the outside, but the Seser in the inside. Right? So, and so what, but how do you get that out? So, Vayashka Yomer, you start what? Ma'anu, Ma'achayenu. If you have to yell at your Yetzirah, like the Gemara said, right? You have to yell at the Yetzirah. And by doing so, what happens? So, he asks the question. All of a sudden, in this paragraph, a shift happens. First, you're talking about how you're nothing, and then all of a sudden, something changes where the Gomer nothing, but Kal Yisrael is something. So what? That's exactly the point. You're going through on a national stage. That's what this. You're going through the Tanya. What you're going through is I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And you're actually poking a hole in the Yetzirah. You're putting it in its place, and you're allowing your true identity to be freed from that hijacking, right? And so, this is being described to this tefillah, the Goyim Kiviyachol. Until now, you've been. Again, the Yidden Kiviyachol have been hijacked by the Goyim. right? To the point of where they identify the what's the term where you identify with your captor. Stockholm syndrome. This is like Stockholm syndrome with Kivyachol. That it's like we were the person's identified with the Yitzhar. So you do as you say Ma'anu Ma'achayinu and so on. You poke a hole in it. The balloon, you know, falls away, and then you realize that it was the Goyim that was Kayin, but it was us Zanachu Bnei Amcha and so on and so forth. This is why. So what did the Gemara say? Yargiz Adam, and that works a little bit. What's the next step after Yargiz Adam? The next step is learn Torah. That's why we then quote a pasuk, Shenemar, because we want to quote a pasuk. Quoting a pasuk, we're not just using it as tefillah, we're saying a pasuk now, it means we're learning Torah. As the Gemara said, there's stages in how to completely obliterate that, to pop that balloon. The first nekuda is to get angry at it, and then the second thing that pops the balloon even more is Torah, which is Shenemar. And the third thing that pops that makes the balloon pop a little bit more is what? As the Gemara says, is Krishma. That's Krishma. And the final thing that pops the balloon is to remember the day of death, and that's the Kiddush Hashem. That's the bracha of Kiddush Hashem that we say. And all of this is ultimately a description of a personal kibbutz goyis. This is what's happening. Until now, you've been in exile. You've been in exile. The person's been in exile, and that was the problem. You've identified the person as thought of themselves as American, as French, as Italian, as Mexican. That's who they were. What does kibbutz goyis mean? Kibbutz goyis means you weren't American, you weren't Italian, you weren't French, you weren't Mexican. You were a Yid the whole time. And then you, that's what's happening in this tefillah. That's what you're going through in this Sefer HaTanya, this Avodah. And therefore, it culminates with a tefillah that we should be zechut to keep its goliath, because that's what this is. It's extracting the yid from being enmeshed with the guy. Again, in the beginning, the person identified himself as the guy. What do you have to do? So then you have to yell at the guy, which in the beginning is yelling at yourself. But by doing so, then the balloon of that is the guy begins to deflate, and it deflates. Again, with yelling, it deflates with Torah, it deflates with Krishna, it deflates more with remembering the day of death of Kiddush Hashem. But all of that leads to the deflation, the deflating balloon that is the guy, thus releasing the Jew from its kloshes, and the Jew is able to identify himself truly as a Jew, and to be besimcha rabba over the fact that now he's able to serve Hashem in such a way. And that itself is kibbutz goyis, das alein, that's kibbutz goyis itself. So as I said, this is a model that's telling us how to approach davening bichlal and how to awaken the heart in order to realize that the avoid of davening throughout the siddur is literally redeeming our own neshamas from a gullus that we were not, that we didn't put ourselves in. This gullus that we were put into, ultimately for the tzarech aliyah of conquering this world for Hashem and bringing the world to an even higher heights. Okay, this is Hashem.